Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. It can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it is common. Luckily, I'm here to provide you with a solution so you don't even have to talk about it. Through Hims, you can restore your hair by accessing their personalized hair loss solutions. Men value many different things about their appearance. But if you're a guy who really cares about your hair and find that it's slowly going away, you might be feeling discouraged when you look in the mirror. And that's where Hims comes in. Check out their personalized hair loss solutions, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Plus $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
Now taxes is 100% free when you file in the TurboTax app if you didn't file with us last year.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, just do your own taxes in the app by 2/18.
What if I have lots of forms?
All good, all 100% free.
What if I had 3 jobs?
Still 100% free.
What if I once saw Bigfoot?
That has nothing to do with taxes, so still 100% free.
Now that's what I'm talking about.
Now this is taxes. See if you qualify in the TurboTax app. Excludes TurboTax Live, must start and file in app by 2/18.
Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is absolutely incredible to be with you guys. It's Sunday morning. There is no 49ers playoffs today, but we do have a lot of 49ers notes and tidbits from the playoffs and how that impacts us, how it affects us. You've got some movement in the DC world, defensive coordinators and stuff that really affects the 49ers. And I think it was a huge missed opportunity for the Niners, but that's okay. We're going to talk some Jaden Daniels, Brock Purdy. We're going to talk the Cowboys and how bad they are. That's going to be a part of every single show. And then the second half, kind of the meat and potatoes of the show, I'm going to give through. I went through it again. We, the 49ers Rush team, we have been building this draft book out, you know, inside out, and just focusing on details like snap counts, alignment, and all those things. And I've got 4 or 5 players, depending on how much time we have, at different positions that I haven't really mentioned in mock draft episodes, whatever else, at some different positions. I got offensive tackle, offensive guard, safety, corner, edge player that I want to highlight. So later round guys that probably are not going to go in the first 3 rounds, they could creep up there. This is before the Senior Bowl. This is before the combine. So there's still a lot of movement to take place, but just based off of the research that we do, got a lot in common with a lot of the 49ers players we have. And whenever you pay attention to snap counts, alignment, health, studies, academics, height, weight, all those things, some nice fits. So that's what we have on agenda today. This is episode 1314. Shout out to our executive producers, Corey Robbins, 49ers George 365, and David Gill. They make this show possible. And if you want to be a chance to be an executive producer and help kind of choreograph these shows and have all that stuff, head over to the 49ersrush.com. Head over to our Patreon channel. Those are still available. We still have a couple slots open if you want to join there and make this show continue, which I really do appreciate. Thank you for all the hashtag CCs. We got Josh in the house, Monkey Boy. You guys are the best. Appreciate all the people that subscribe over on YouTube. If you catch the live shows, means a lot. I was wondering how long it would take for the first Don Burr reference. Josh comes in. Lions lost. He calls them bums. Where's Don at? Shout out to Don Burr. I think Don Burr is awesome. I really do like that dude. I've never met him in person, but I love fans that are true fans, and I think Don Burr is that. I think that he has achieved the perfect amount of trash talk against Niners, and he's been with us for years. I love it, man. I really do. And if I'm going to be honest, I am also in love with the fact that the Lions lost. I am not one of those that jumped on this Niner or Lions bandwagon. Well, our team's out and Lions haven't won since forever. No, I was rooting proudly against the Lions. Now, I bet the Lions, and so I lost some money, but I try to always like disassociate my passion with my betting. Take that for what you will. But like, I'm glad the Lions lost. I was losing money and watching that game with a smile. One, I'm not on the Dan Campbell train. That dude has made so many mistakes consistently. He should have beat us last year in the NFC Championship, but he can't manage a game. They had a chance to get back in the game, and they got 12 men on the field on their defense. Is Nick Sorensen on their team? Is he a consultant that I didn't know about? The head coach or the DC, Eric Glenn, got to take a timeout on that one. I mean, that just ruined it. It was fourth down, and they gave him a free first down. They scored a touchdown. Game was over. Dan Campbell, I love what he's about with his personality, the way he takes responsibility, the way he treats his players, the way he uplifts. Like, I love all of that. But it's kind of like having Tony Robbins as your DC, but he doesn't know football. I know he knows football, but, like, I don't know. Amon-Ra St. Brown talking trash on us. I'm not a Jared Goff guy. Yeah, I ain't mad. I am not mad. Now, I'm not a Commanders guy either, but shout out to Dave Chappelle at Haters Ball. And like, I'm a hater, and I always have been. And so this is a character flaw, and I understand that, but it ain't changing. Whenever I watch a game like Commanders and Lions, this is what I do. This is a problem. This is a problem. I understand that, so send your DMs if you want to and your emails and whatever. That's cool. I know who I am. I'm a hater. So I sit there and I'm like, man, everybody joined this Lions bandwagon when their team's out. A lot of Niners fans as well. That's okay. You do you. Your fandom's your fandom. I sit there and I say, more people would be pissed off if the Lions lost this game. Therefore, I want the Commanders to win. I'm petty. It's my favorite color. I am petty, petty, petty. I know that's not good. But that's who I am. And whenever I watch sports, I sit there and I say, man, how can most fans be upset? I want the Commanders to win. So I pull for the Commanders. I don't like any NFC team. And, you know, you've got the Rams and the Eagles today. I hate them both. I hate them both. But I can't root for a division opponent. I can't do it. I'm not rooting for the Eagles. But like if John Chapman was decided, somebody said, John, you decide who wins this game, I would say Eagles. But I hate the Eagles. I hate the Eagles. I hate the Rams. I hate the Rams more. We've played the Rams. I'm curious. We played the Rams over 100 times. Over 100 times. I wonder how many times we played. 150 times. Sorry about that. So, yeah, we played the Eagles 37 times. We played the Rams 150 times, and I have been educated by the old hats whenever I go to these tailgates, and shout out to my man William Kerrigan. He's the absolute best. The Rams, to a lot of the old hats, are still the 49ers' number one rival. Number one. over the Cowboys, over the Seahawks, over the Eagles, all that. The Rams, we have played them 150 times. We played the Eagles 37. And we lead the Eagles 21-15 with one tie. I'm not overly concerned. Like, the Eagles are no threat to the 49ers. The Rams, McVay, Shanahan, all that stuff. Yeah, I hate the Rams. I hate them. I am petty. I am petty. Now, while we are sticking with petty, there's more I want to talk about with the Lions. We'll get back to that. But the Commanders now have made the NFC Championship. They were the last team in the NFC to make it to the NFC Championship. But now they have. Shout out to RJ Ochoa. I don't think he follows me, but he put this out there on Twitter. He put every single year that each NFC team has made the NFC Championship, right? Every single one of them. I freaking love it. The Dallas Cowboys are now, there's only 16 teams in the NFC. The Dallas Cowboys are 16th out of 16th for making the NFC Championship. They're dead last. So all 15 other teams in the NFC have made it to the NFC Championship since the Dallas Cowboys. Dallas Cowboys, last time they did it was 1995. And now that the Commanders have did it, they were in last place. It's not even close. Not only are the Dallas Cowboys the only team to not make the NFC Championship this millennia, 1995 was the last time. The next closest team is the Chicago Bears, who have been god-awful. They made it in 2010. The Dallas Cowboys are not only the worst of the NFC, but they have a 15-year lead on the second-worst team. 1995 for the Cowboys, 2010 for the freaking Bears, 2011 for the Giants. They've been god-awful. 2014 Seahawks, 2015 Panthers, 2015 Cardinals, 2016 Falcons, 2017 Vikes, 2018 Saints, 2020 Packers, 2020 Bucks, 2021 Rams, 22 Eagles, 49ers 2023, Lions 2023, Commanders 2024. 15-year disadvantage to second to last place. How about them Cowboys? Woo! Hey, if there's anything that can make me happy this morning, it is relishing in the fact that the Cowboys are the worst team in the NFC by 15 years. And I know there's somebody listening to this show going, hey, if you don't win a Super Bowl, then it don't matter. Well, guess how you get to the Super Bowl? The NFC Championship. So if you can't get to the NFC Championship, then the Super Bowl don't matter because you can't play in it. You can't make it there without making it to the championship first. That's how bad they are. Now, if you look at the AFC, there's only one team in the AFC that is worse. That is the Cleveland Browns. Cleveland Browns. So the Cowboys went in 1995, and the Browns went in 1990, so 5 years. Difference there. Shout out to Adam Wolfgang on Twitter. He's the one that sent me that. Awesome. 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 I love the hate. It's not healthy. It's not healthy, but I don't care. oh man. It's the little things. What's up, Mark? Hey, Jesse. Appreciate you guys. Captain Jason, Talofa faithful. I love it. I love it. Let's see here. Yeah, right here, bro, says, cuss words, Lions, and thank you for spoiling us with content going out. Hey, man, we here together, baby, and we ain't going nowhere. We're 1,300 episodes in. We just get started. I am not able to do the amount of draft shows I want to do. I'm never able. I'm never going to be able to get all the draft content out I want to. I understand that. If I went live three times a day, I still would not be able to. And I'm trying to balance. I don't want to just do draft shows. Obviously, the mock draft shows, we do those. Those do really well. People really like those. I get the most positive feedback on those. But I know that's not everybody's thing. So I try my hardest to divide 49ers content, draft content. So there's a little bit of something on each show. Feed a little bit of everybody. I know I can't make everybody happy, but thank you. I love this freaking job, man. I love this job. Applesauce, what's up, Tom? He says, can we get back to the play-action game? That made first-year Purdy and first-year Daniels look great. It's such a big deal. The Niners deleted so much of their playbook this year. Play-action, screens, running games, checkdowns, not completely deleted, but diluted. That's probably the best word. And it killed us. It killed us all year. All year. Now, sticking to this Jaden Daniels, Brock Purdy, Jaden Daniels joins a group of six quarterbacks in NFL history to bring their team their rookie year to a championship game, AFC Championship, NFC Championship. Six quarterbacks. Jaden Daniels joins this group. Brock Purdy was the last to do it. Mark Sanchez, Joe Flacco, Big Ben, Sean King, and then Jeff Daniels, six. So if you remove, you know, Brock Purdy and Jaden Daniels' careers are not over. Sanchez, Flacco, Roethlisberger, Kings are. Seems like, man, you got a 50% chance at relative greatness. Flacco got the Super Bowl, won NFL comeback player of the year. He's done some great things. Big Ben's the best quarterback of the bunch for sure, not ethics-wise or morality-wise. Anyway, can't stand Big Ben. But that's a pretty elite group. It really, really is. So if you look at just the four whose careers are completed, you got Sanchez and Sean King on one side. You got Flacco and Roethlisberger on the other side. Yeah, I mean, if you tell me, it's like watching the Targaryens. You got to flip a coin, right? Whether they're mad or whatever. It's a pretty damn good company to be in. Now, I will say this about Jaden Daniels. He looks like the guy. He looks like the guy, capital T. Like, he looks it. Now, can he stay healthy? What's going to happen if he loses his coordinator? That team's only going to get better. It's only going to get better. They have a lot of draft capital. They have a lot of salary cap capital. I think the Commanders might be here for a minute. I think they might. Now, Purdy, yeah, we'll see. I think that Purdy is a great quarterback, and I want to lock him up long term. It doesn't really matter what I want or what you want. Brock Purdy's going to be here for a minute.
It's playoff time, and it's now or never. Don't miss out on the last few weeks of football action with Prize Picks, the best place to win cash while you watch the playoffs. And Prize Picks is the best way to get action on sports in more than 30 states, including California, Texas, Georgia, and Florida. So sign up today with our code 49ers, 49ERS. Get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. So if you think Brock Purdy is going to throw for more than 1.5 touchdowns or Lamar Jackson 250 pass yards the following week, man, that's where it's at. And my favorite thing is it's just simple. You pick two players, more or less, and then you're golden. So download the app today and use code 49ers, 49ERS, to get $50 instantly. After you play your first $5 lineup, again, download the app today. Use code 49ers to get $50 instantly after you play your first game on Prize Picks. Run your game. It's a brand new year, and everybody has New Year's resolutions. Did you know only 8%? Of people stuck with their last year's New Year's resolution throughout the year? Well, who doesn't want to be better off financially? Well, here's the thing with Acorns. You go to there, Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing so your money has a chance to grow for you, your kids, your retirement, whatever your financial needs are. And here's the thing, you don't have to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that fits your goals. And you don't need to be rich. You can start with $5, even just your spare change, and they can round up your transactions. That's what I do personally. I've been using this same feature for at least 4 or 5 years now on Acorns. So whether you don't have time, you don't have a lot of money, it doesn't matter. This is where Acorns comes into effect for you because they help you get there. So head to acorns.com/49ers or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. And I am proud to say that this episode is brought to you by Acorns. Paid client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investment involves risk. Acorns Advisors LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorn.com/49ers.
Men, if you've lost your hair, it doesn't mean you can't find it again. Try Hims Hair Loss Solutions and you'll be joining hundreds of thousands of subscribers who found their hair again. It can be hard for men to deal with hair loss, even though it is common. Luckily, I'm here to provide you with a solution so you don't even have to talk about it. Through Hims, you can restore your hair by accessing their personalized hair loss solutions. Men value many different things about their appearance. But if you're a guy who really cares about your hair and find that it's slowly going away, you might be feeling discouraged when you look in the mirror. And that's where Hims comes in. Check out their personalized hair loss solutions, and you can start seeing your hair grow back in as little as 3 to 6 months. Hims provides you with convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients, like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers. And they can help you get your confidence back, too, with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride, prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
He's young. He's got so much of what you want, but you do need to help him. And yeah, play action, applesauce, that's huge. Checkdowns. Run the ball. Stay committed to the run no matter who's back there. Running the ball 17 times in a rainy game. Brock's biggest issue is inclement weather, and you don't even help him out in those situations. That's rough. What's up, Yacek? He says, where's Don? He might be in here. I'm a little behind on the chat. Mucky boy. Cowboy slander. Oh, I'm here for it. Bobo, where's Detroit versus Arizona? Like, I will say this. I am a trash-talking mamma jamma mofo. All times. Fantasy, ping pong, don't care. Even if I don't think I'm good, I'm talking trash. It's just fun for me. And I bring a lot of unnecessary. When my team loses, my phone blows up more than ever. That's just the truth. And, you know, from all non-Niner fans, and when Texas loses, my phone blows up like forever. So I love Don Burr, and I love Detroit versus everybody. I love talking trash. But if you talk trash, guess what? You got to take the trash. That's just what it is. And yeah, man, you got it. That's just what it is. What's up, RTP? The man. He called the games yesterday, by the way. RTP knows what he's talking about all the time. All the time. All the time. That's what it is. Mark, every year we try to predict the Niner draft. Every year they do something completely different. They got a lot of players I like this year, but yeah, predicting the Niners draft is rough. That's why we spent so much time trying to find these guys that I think fit the Niners profile at certain positions. And yeah, we talked about, you know, Pooney a lot last year. We talked about Malik. We talked about Isaac Arendo. We talked about Renardo Greed. Didn't talk a lot about Ricky Pearsall because I didn't think that was a fit and still wasn't a draft need or best player available, but that's okay. He's played well, and there's always going to be curveballs. And right here, Cam's dad, appreciate the super chat. Yeah, for I want best man available or position. So here's the thing. The 49ers do not draft best man available or best player available. Anytime I put a poll up on Twitter, and I've mentioned this in the past, I put a poll up there, who should the Niners draft? And like five of the first 10 comments are BPA, best player available, best player available. Niners have never drafted that way. At any point, not even late in the round, they don't do that. They do it a little more so. They draft for need, and they draft for positions. There's certain positions they value, wide receiver above all. defensive line, offensive tackle. That's what they value. That's what they draft early. That's it. That's all they've ever drafted. Quarterback you could throw in there, of course. But now the criticism, and a very good criticism, is, well, how's that working out for them? I would argue the 49ers have drafted better than almost any team in the NFL since Shanahan's been here. Let me say that again. I would argue the 49ers have drafted better than almost any team in the NFL since Shanahan and Lynch arrived. Almost all of them. Does that mean there's not major misses? Oh my gosh, there's not a bigger miss than Trey Lance. That's the biggest miss ever. I don't think the Solomon Thomas miss with what was on the board, that was gigantic. There's a lot of misses. But even in all those drafts where you have misses, you have these late round home runs, which continued last year even after Adam Peters left. Last year's draft might go down as one of the better drafts. I don't know if you get that all-pro elite player, but the Niners are drafting so well collectively, and they have been bailed out because they do hit home runs on guys like Kittle, who potential Hall of Fame player, Fred Warner, who I say now is a Hall of Fame player. Like, you draft a Hall of Fame player in the third round, that covers up a lot of the ugly. It really, really does. You've traded for some other players that have been good, but I don't want to go into that one. But you have drafted studs, Diamandour Lenore, Debo, Bosa. Like, you have to get credit for those guys that have just been so freaking awesome. Hufanga, Dre Greenlaw, like Brandon Ayuk. That's a lot of quality players. There's a lot of misses too, and you're going to miss. Again, maybe I should have made a Game of Thrones thumbnail. Draft 50-50, and it's about lottery tickets and dart throws. And the more throws you get, the better chance you're going to have of hitting late. And on positions where they've doubled up in the past, the second guy they've drafted, the later guy, is better almost exclusively over the first guy that they preferred several rounds before. I think that's a testament, but at least they're smart enough to double up on those. But you look at this recent draft class, Ricky Pearsall. That's not a miss. I think it's a misappropriation of draft funds, but that's not a miss. Ricky Pearsall balled out. Finished with 31 catches, 400 yards, and 3 touchdowns. In a season, he got shot. That ain't bad. And he started turning the light on late in the season. He started stacking games. Renardo Greed, home run. Dominique Pooney, home run might be a grand slam. Malik Mustafa, home run. Isaac Rendo, I think there's something there to work with. I think that's a solid double. Especially the fact that it's a fourth round. Jacob Cowing, if he's just going to be a punt returner, okay, that's a single, but you're getting fourth round return. I wish they would use him as a deep threat. He's our best deep threat wide receiver. Jared Kingston, we cut, wish we would have kept him. Tatum Bethune, we'll see. Tatum Bethune, seventh rounder, made the roster, maybe a single. I'm not sold on Tatum. Against the run, he's amazing. Not good specialties player, not good against the pass. But like Pearsall, Green, Pooney, Mustafa, Grindo, Cowing. Good Lord. That's 6 studs out of 8. That's home. That's awesome. Like, you remove the names, remove the positions, remove whatever. If you tell me we're getting what we got, dude, copy paste, baby. You're going to be all right. You're going to be all right. Man. Yeah, I like it. Niner faithful. Dan Quinn. Gave Campbell a taste of his own medicine. Fourth down conversions. Wow. Yeah, I do like that. And I like Dan Quinn. I've always liked Dan Quinn. Yeah, we'll see. I love all the Don Byrne stuff. Did Ben Johnson head coach rep take a hit? No. Ben Johnson's gone. Aaron Glenn's gone. I don't think either one of them really took a hit. Way too many trick plays, but probably my favorite trick play I've ever seen is just the simplicity. The outside toss shovel pass, where he tosses it to the back, then he shovels it to the slot coming underneath. That's probably one of my favorite trick plays where I just watched. I was like, how has nobody thought of this? And its simplicity and how great it is. Just the over leverage of the defensive tackle and the end have to flow to the outside pitch. Then you undercut it. Whew. Now, Ben Johnson's gone. He's the most desired head coach and will be. Yeah, hope he goes to the Raiders, keep him out of the NFC. And Aaron Glenn, I think he's gone as well. We'll see. The test for the Lions, it's coming, man, because Man, they're losing both coordinators. I think it's the toughest division of football, NFC North or AFC North. I think Goff's fine, but as long as he got that offensive line, but we'll see. Three interceptions and one fumble lost in the playoff game. Jared Goff, Jared Goff, Jared. Like, who? Jared Goff's not a bad quarterback. First overall pick. He's got the size. He's got whatever else. He's got his wife off the charts. Whatever. And he's a great dude. I think he does a lot for the community. Like, I don't dislike Jared Goff, but, you know, I always joke around and call him Baby Giraffe because he can't move. And shout out to 49ers247 Twitter. Jared Goff threw more interceptions in the first half of that playoff game than Brock Purdy has thrown in his entire playoff career. Jared Goff threw two interceptions in the first half. Brock Purdy's thrown one interception in six playoff games. Come on, man. Come on, man. And the fact that the Lions have finished with only two playoff wins with this coaching staff and this roster is hilarious. Shanahan has eight currently. He's been there longer. I understand that. But Shanahan has continued to win whenever he's lost coordinator after coordinator after coordinator. We'll see. I'm not so sure about the Lions. And, you know, Dan Campbell making all those terrible mistakes. We'll see. We'll see. Anyway, the Lions, yeah, I'm still not seeing Don Burr. I like this comment. Rick, he says, Kevin Costner says, trade up for the defensive tackle no matter what. That was our last episode we traded up. Yeah, postseason Goff. There we go. Condolences to Don Burr. The Lions defense is bad. The injuries were bad, but yeah, it was terrible. It was terrible. Goff was balling. I love it. Can't hate the Lions. Been bad for so long. Yeah. I don't know. Lions lost check. I do like it. I like it. Pass happy when Gibbs was averaging like 10 yards to carry. I'm with you there, especially whenever you kept turning it over. Man, I didn't like it. I did not like it. Now, let's jump over. Let's talk some DC. Carlos, my man. Hey, John, any news about the defensive coordinator? So the 49ers defensive coordinator job took a hit. Jeff Ulbrich, former Niners legend, has now agreed to be the Falcons defensive coordinator. And here's what bothers me most. 49ers never even requested to interview him. It's okay if you don't like Saleh, but we know that's not the case because last year the 49ers requested permission to interview Jeff Ulbrich. I think I said Saleh there. Sorry about that. And the Jets said, no, we tried to last year. What's changed? Yeah, I don't think that he did the best job when Saleh left, but just have a conversation. He fits our scheme. And so I think because of this, before I get to that, 49ers faithful, no on Ulbrich because we refused to do any interviews besides Saleh, which is dumb. I'm with you completely. I think it's now down, and you know, Matt Barrows put this out there. 49ers think it's Robert Saleh or bust. I think I'll give you percentages. There's only three guys that could have this job currently. Niners refused to interview anybody for the past like 10 days. They interviewed two players only. That's it. Two guys. Robert Saleh, Deshae Townsend, and Kyle Shanahan said, yep, we're going to consider Brandon Staley for DC. So here's my percentages. The rumor is they've offered Robert Saleh to be the highest paid defensive coordinator in the NFL. They want to bring him back. If Robert Saleh doesn't get a head coaching job, I think the Niners are going to get him. I really, really do. And Mark says, I think the Saleh deal is already inked. They just haven't announced it for some reason. He's still interviewing for head coaching jobs. Still. Just interviewed for the Cowboys coaching job just a day ago. So he's got, I think it's five now head coaching interviews. If he doesn't get any of those, I think we get him. And maybe he'd take our DC job over a few of those because guess what? If he comes to the Niners, turns our defense around, he will be hired again. Now, I do think, and this is something that Shanahan has done. I have no verifiable evidence, but I think it makes sense whenever you see all the Niners coordinators turning down jobs in their first year. I think Shanahan says, look, we'll make you the highest paid defensive coordinator, but you got to come back for at least 2 years. 2 years. Give us 2 years. I don't think Saleh comes back 1 year, or maybe, and Shanahan has done this in the past too, and I think he's done this with D'Amico. This is all conjecture in my opinion, where he interviews these guys and says, look, we want you as our coordinator. What is your one or two dream jobs? And if that comes available and they offer, you can go. But outside of that, you stay. And so, like, for D'Amico, it was the Texans job, right? He played there, from there, family lives there, all that stuff. But turned down several other quality jobs, didn't even interview for him. Brian Greasy, same thing. Robert Saleh, same thing. And so I think that's a part of it. Again, that's just my own conjecture. I have no verifiable evidence to that. But I think that is a bit a part of those interviews. And I've been in those negotiations at a much smaller level. And those things are brought up. Those things are brought up. So if Saleh comes back for 2 years, then leaves, I'm cool with that. That's two solid years as a DC. And if he does, it's good enough to become a head coach. That's positive. And we get another comp pick, two comp picks. We can draft more kickers. I hate that. I got to delete that joke because it pisses me off every time I say it. But that's right where I go with those third round comp picks. Anyway, so here's my percentages. I have Robert Saleh coming back and being the 49ers defensive coordinator at 40%. 40%. I have Brandon Staley at 55%. Seems like it's Saleh or Brandon Staley. And I'm going to throw a little bone to Deshae Townsend. I'm going to put him at 5% because he got an official interview. Never been a DC before. I think the odds on favorite right now, not who the Niners want, but just statistically, dude's got five. Robert Saleh's got five head coaching interviews. Five. I'm going to go Saleh 40, Brandon Staley 55, Deshae Townsend 5%. Now, I am higher on Brandon Staley than most. I hate, however, if you are this high on Brandon Staley, you should have made the transition as soon as we weren't out of the playoffs. As soon as we were eliminated from the playoffs, you should have demoted your friend and allowed Staley to step in just to see. You missed a trial interview to see if he could turn stuff around and see how it would have worked. You missed that. I wish you would have interviewed other people. You missed that. Like, they are just... Now, if you get Robert Saleh, then all this complaining or whatever is for naught, and they hit it. They nailed it. Are they going to? I don't know. If you get Robert Saleh, your first choice, then hey, it all worked out. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But why are we not preparing for contingency plans? Well, Kyle says Brandon Staley's our contingency. Well, if that's the case, why didn't you put him in charge after the bye week? Why didn't you put him in charge once we were eliminated from the playoffs? You could have at least seen how it was going to work. But you ruined that to keep Pat Rock, and he only got worse. He only got worse. But hey, we have to keep him on staff. And man, whenever you get a new coach, it's excited because you bring in energy and all those things. But if we end up with Brandon Staley as DC, Nick Sorensen as special teams coordinator, I'm not going to say the season's over. I don't believe that at all. But it's just like, wow. Completely underwhelmed. If you did that after a Super Bowl, whenever, you know, like last year, when every other team has filled all of their positions and you got nothing to choose from, that's fine. But that wasn't the case this year. And it's just, hey, Saleh or bust. Saleh or bust. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. And we'll see. Yeah, we'll see. Sorry, I'm so behind on the chat. I'm such a jerk. I'm sorry, guys. There's no way I want to be able to catch up. Y'all are amazing. I'm sure it's everybody talking about me being spiteful and whatever else. Bossy Mayan, what's up, man? Good to see you. Robert Saleh or bust for me. Right here. John Chapman is delusional when it comes to Brock. I don't know what that means because I feel like I do a good job whenever the Brock, whatever you want to call him, Brock's MVP, greatest quarterback ever, people are mad at me. And the people that don't want Brock are mad at me too. And I feel like I toe that line pretty good. But yeah, I'm sure I'm delusional about a lot of things. I think Brock is a good quarterback. Do I think that he's a top five quarterback? I do not. I think that he is kind of that. Do I think he can be? Yes. Yes, I do. Do I want Brock here long term? Yes, I do. Do I consider him a top half quarterback in the league? Yes, I do. But I don't think he's top five. I don't put him up there with Lamar, Mahomes, Josh Allen, Jaden Daniels. You got to put him up there. I don't put him up there with Stroud. I think he's close to Stroud, but he's not there. So, yeah, maybe I am delusional. I don't know what side that is, and that's okay. It's okay to disagree with people. Disagree. That's a great thing. Conversations are a great thing. It just make it be productive. If you're just trying to convince the other side of your things, now it's a podcast, is a little bit one-sided, but man, bring something. Tell me why, and we could have a discussion on those things. But yeah, anyway, Kevin, what's up? Hopefully we get Saleh, but the process has left a lot to be desired. Shanahan's fine with Brandon Staley. That's what this process tells me. And I think that's crazy without even interviewing other people, not even interviewing, which again, just feeds the narrative. Shanahan cares way more about who he works with than what he works with. He has to have that relationship. And I've been with coaches like that. And it's just like, man, you see people get promoted that don't deserve it. And you see Nick Sorensen, right? First press conference. Why do you think he got this job? I don't know. Ask Kyle. That's the only reason why he got the job. Not because he's a good coach. He's not. He's not a good coordinator. Might be a good coach. He's not a good coach. The only player that got, he's not. Nick Sorensen's a bad coach. He's a special teams coordinator, was the worst in the NFL, was worse than Richard Hightower with us, was dead last, 32nd. Comes to the 49ers. Might be a good drill coach. Turnover drill. We had some good turnovers during his time here, but he only coached nickels, and our nickels were terrible. And then whenever he goes from nickel to DC, the nickel got better, but all other 10 starters got worse. He's a terrible coach, but he kisses up to Shanahan. I love Shanahan. Again, if I piss off the Shanahan loyalists and I piss off the Fire Can't Shanahan crowd, I feel like I'm doing good. I feel like I'm doing good. Yeah, we'll see here. We'll see what that is. Robert Saleh bust. Epic failure. Yeah. Atlanta just hired Ulbrich. Yeah, he's gone. That stinks. Right here. Could Staley be a better position coach like Schwartz, Kingsbury? Yeah, he worked with the corners predominantly almost all year at training camp, and he ran the turnover circuit drill, which was good until the bye week. I don't know. I wish we would have made that change so we could have saw. I wish we could have saw what it was. We missed that chance. It's been mismanaged. It's been mismanaged because Shanahan won't fire people. Will not fire people. And so, yeah, Strawberry, why aren't we at least interviewing other people? Saleh could still be their first choice, but at least interview others. I'm with you 100%. Yeah, I'm with you 100%. And that's okay. Brock is the top 10 QB, says Kyle. I agree. Purdy was an MVP finalist last season for a reason. Yeah, he was. He played incredible. But if you put all of his work this year included, I don't know. So I guess I think Brock can be that if you surround him. I don't think Stroud is top five. I don't think Stroud is a top five quarterback. But I think y'all are trying to set traps for me, and I'll step in on them. I don't care. I think C.J. Stroud is better than Brock Purdy whenever it comes to, look, put these guys next to each other. I think Stroud is more mobile. I think Stroud has a better arm. I had Stroud the number one player on my board that draft. But I think they're close. I think Purdy and Stroud are close. I think if you gave all 32 teams, you could pick Stroud or you could pick Purdy. I think Stroud's going to be picked by like 20 plus. Some teams will pick Purdy. And that's not a knock on Brock Purdy. Stroud was the NFL consensus rookie of the year. Like, incredible. Like, that's not a knock. But I don't see Stroud as a top five. I see him as a top 10. And I would put him ahead of Brock Purdy, but I love Brock Purdy. Hopefully, yeah. And, you know, Stroud had a sophomore slump too. I'm not saying he's perfect. I'm not saying he's great. I don't know. I know I'm pissing it. My goal, what did I say earlier? What's going to upset the most people? I think I'm doing that right now. I'm upsetting everybody. Not the goal here. Do have to mention the Chiefs and how terrible the officials are, the NFL product with just them drooling over Patrick Mahomes. I hate it. It's gross. The flopping. The flop needs to be a penalty. The late slide needs to be a penalty. And again, if you're going to keep throwing those flags, I'm going to make my flag worth it. In a world of Patrick Mahomes, be a Dre Greenlaw. I believe in that. And if I was coaching, I would say that. Guys are going to flag us anyway. Make it count. And I know ethically that might not work. And I understand that's not the politically correct. I get that. But, man, that dude going to flop and do all that stuff and late slide and dance around. And, hey, at the end of the day, it's football. At the end of the day, it's football. And I'm telling you right now, as a coach, I would not say hurt him. I would say you're going to get flagged anyway. Make it count. Make it count. It's bad for the product. And I hate the NFL and that they're doing that. Also, I walked away from that game thinking Spags. I already had the opinion Spagnuolo was the best play caller, offense, defense, coordinator, whatever, in the NFL. I think he's even better. But Spags plus the refs equals unstoppable. And Patrick Mahomes is still great. I'm not saying he's not great. I'm saying he's a bitch. I'm sorry. I hope that didn't upset you. That dude's a bitch. He is. And I cannot stand that man. Can't stand him. So Spags plus the refs, that's unstoppable. Andy Reid's amazing coordinator, amazing play caller. Patrick Mahomes made probably three or four just incredible plays, but most of those plays would have been negated by, you know, if the drives would have ended when they should have. Travis Kelce continues to stack huge playoff games. He's a stud, broke another Jerry Rice rookie record. Hey, man, he's only 120 touchdowns away, I think. Shout out to my man David from Jerry Rice's touchdown record. So take that for what you will. Take that for what you will. Let me see if I got to deal with any issues right here. Kevin, NFL doubled down and said all the calls were correct from yesterday. Yeah, they did at the player pool interview. Flopping should be an unsportsmanlike penalty. I love it. Yeah, Mahomes and the Chiefs are not ethical. They cheat because they won't get called for it. And Andy Reid, man, you can look at his family history. And again, this is somebody with family history that's probably similar. You could look at the players he brings in. They do not care about ethics. So I will stay with what I said right here. Always keeping it real. Logan, damn, Chapman. Hey, man, I hate it. I'm sorry. I hate that dude. I hate that dude. Oh, yeah, man. Whatever. NY Niners, that officiating was disgusting. Yep, there we go. Good. Refs cheating. Good. All right. Cool. I like it. Okay, so we've handled all that. I feel like we've done well. Now it's time to get to what I want to talk about, and that is draft targets late. We spent a lot of time on first, second round picks, and we'll continue to spend a lot of time on those guys. I want to get into the deep dive. This is where John Chapman does part of the episode just for myself. Before that, let's pay some bills, baby. If you bet today, you know where you got to do it. It's win or go home for the NFL playoffs, and all roads lead to New Orleans. But here's the thing. Your chance to get in on every high-stakes moment along the way starts with MyBookie. MyBookie is the ultimate destination for bettors who want more. Whether you're backing the underdogs, riding with the favorites, every drive, every touchdown, every moment is an opportunity to win big. And you can kick off 2025 right. They have risk-free Thursdays. That's where you place a bet. And if it doesn't hit, MyBookie has your back. Dive into the Bet Boost tab to supercharge your picks and build that bankroll before the Super Bowl. And even when the games are over, the action doesn't stop with MyBookie's online casino. Blackjack, Baccarat, Roulette, Slots, it's all there whether you're celebrating a big win or you're gearing up for the next round. And if you haven't joined yet, use promo code 49ERS49ERS on your first deposit. MyBookie will hook you up with an instant bonus because you deserve to start strong. Season isn't just about watching history unfold. It's about being part of it. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, and I mean anywhere, with MyBookie. All right, let's do it. I'm excited. This is for me, and I hope you guys enjoy this as well. And again, all of this process, introducing names, increasing awareness on these players, hopefully a couple tidbits stick and you're like, I want to check them out. And maybe you go to YouTube or wherever else and you type in, you know, this person highlights, watch them a little bit, all that stuff. We'll be doing breakdowns. We're continuing building breakdowns on our platform, the49ersrush.com, and our Patreon channel. But we're going to start off with an offensive tackle. I'm kind of spreading this around. And most of these guys are not projected to go in the first three rounds. We're going to start off with an offensive tackle. Out of Connecticut, big old boy, 6'8", 305, offensive tackle, Chase Lunt. He's 24 years old, so he's experienced. And all of these prospects I'm talking about, The one commonality since Trey Lance has been drafted after that, so the 2022 draft, 2023, 2024, the 49ers want experience. They want experience. Chase Lunt and all these players have it in spades. He has 49 consecutive starts at the right tackle position. Redshirted his first year. That's over 2,900 plus snaps in his career. The thing that comes off the tape with offensive tackle Chase Lunt, length, blocking in space, and the run game. He's a Texas boy from Arlington Martin, a great school, same school that Myles Garrett went to. They've got a lot of people come through there. Three-star guy. You know, he's had the frame and all those things. But one of my favorite things about him, he's gotten better every year. So he started for three consecutive years. 2022, gave up three sacks. 2023, gave up two sacks. This year in 2024, goose egg. Improvement, improvement, improvement. He's got the body at 6'8", 305. Run grade, 83. 84 zone run grade. He fits what we do. 79 pass rush grade. Awesome. Mock draft database has him going around pick 125, the highest he has gone in any online submitted article, about 100. Well, the 49ers pick 101. 49ers pick 112. The 49ers pick 137. So if the 49ers did stay, which I don't think that they will, they will have not one, not two, but three chances at this player, Chase Lunt. Again, a lot could change with the Senior Bowl and all those things, which, by the way, again, whenever we're building out these profiles and these resumes, we're trying to make these guys come to life. He's accepted his Reese's Senior Bowl invite. 49ers care more about that than anybody. So the overlap of experience, the versatility, the scheme fit, Reese's Senior Bowl, it's just check, 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 check. I really think offensive tackle Chase Lunt, if for some reason, like they have in the past, neglect the offensive line in the first, second, and maybe third rounds, this is a player that you can get in the fourth round, which you currently have two picks at. I think that there is a possibility. Now, if that Sam Darnold comp pick changes the formula, you could have three picks in the fourth round. That is why I wanted to kind of highlight offensive tackle Chase Lunt. I think that he's a player, man. I really, really do, and I think that he kind of fits. And, yeah, there we go. I like that guy. So, right here. Helmet, are you going to watch the East-West Shrine Bowl? Yeah, I watch it every year. I'm going to watch it. I'm not going to be there, and that's okay. But look at this. Kyle Kaiser. You read my notes, Kyle. These are not online. This is not a shared document. My next player, offensive guard, Connor Colby. So I'm glad that I am not the only one that thinks, you know, let's kick it inside. Offensive guard from Iowa, you know, they do a good job with the outside zone. Ferentz and Ferentz's son, they are the outside zone specialists. The NFL trickles up, right? So a lot of the scheme, a lot of all that stuff trickles up from colleges. The outside zone's been in the NFL for a long time. But I would argue Iowa, they are the best implementation of that at the college level. So, offensive guard Connor Colby, Iowa, 6'5", 305. He's got some versatility, could play outside. He's 22 years old. Listen to where he started. 37 starts at right guard, 6 starts at right tackle, 6 starts at left guard. 2,700 plus snaps, and he's played all over the place. So, outside zone, check mark from multiple spots. One of those guys that could be a guard if the Niners do not sign a left guard or a tackle that could kick in until Trent retires and they go after a true guard. Last year they drafted two. Connor Colby is one of those guys that I think would be a guard. They'd move him to left guard immediately. He would compete with Nick Sekel, Spencer Burford, all those guys, but could play tackle in a pinch as well. He fits a little bit more of the mold of Jalen Moore, Nick Sekel, Spencer Burford. Like, he is that type of guy. He's an Iowa boy, born and raised. That's just what he is. Started 11 games as a true freshman. I love that. He's the first offensive lineman to start for Iowa since 2017. And I think that was Tristan Wirfs. I think it was. I might be wrong on that. But I think it was. He's been awesome. It plays all over the place. Now, he gave up 2 sacks this year, 1 sack in 2023, and 3 sacks in 2024. But you look at his run blocking grade, he's got an 80 zone blocking grade, one of the highest of the guards in this class. Versatility is an 8. Versatility is a 9. Experience is an 8 in this offensive guard class. That's Connor Colby out of Iowa. And he is, if you look at his rank on mock draft database, pick 147. So that's kind of a fifth round guard. The highest that he has gone is 114, which is kind of fourth round, mid fourth round. Connor Colby, another guy, shout out to Kyle, called it, that I really, really like right here. Connor Colby, I was watching near that spot as well. Shout out to Kyle, man. You know your stuff. I love it. And there's a lot of guys that, you know, I want to get to, and I appreciate you guys throwing those names out. I'm starring them. We'll see where we're at the end of the show. Back to Chase Lunt, the offensive tackle. Steven says, Lunt reminds me of McGlinchey, just slower. Yeah, he fits that prototype. 6'8", 305. Not super fast, but a good guy in space. Now, if you can get that type of play from a fourth round pick as opposed to a top 10 pick, you take that. And so if the 49ers want to continue to sandbag, hold back their draft capital and their salary cap on the offensive line, I think is a mistake. But if they do that, you've got to have some of these late round guys that you can plug in. I think Chase Lunt and I think Connor Colby and the interior are both guys that make sense with that. I really do. Logan, I will always draft trenches offensive before defensive. I ain't mad at that. Niners disagree with you, but I am not mad at that at all. So take that. Josh, I want D-line. I want both. Mason Graham's a defensive tackle. He is. If you missed our last show, we did a mock draft where we traded up to the 8 spot for Mason Graham. Go back and listen to that show and see how the draft panned out and see if you like it. Because you're not getting Mason Graham at 11. And right, man, shoot, Strawberry. I've seen some mocks where Graham is there at 11 and somewhere he isn't. I have Mason Graham as a top 5 player in this draft. Quarterbacks will push him down a little bit. But I think 7 is where he'll go. I think 8 is where I would, if he falls to 8, that's where I trade up for him. If you don't get him at 7 or 8, you're not getting him. Period, period, period. And he's a perfect fit for us. He is a perfect fit for us. So that's where that is. Right here, Mark, how about someone who will actually be there at 11? I think you're talking offensive tackles now. Those are the guys that are there. And also Mikael Williams. I know a lot of people are high on Mikael Williams. Nick Skorton, it might be. Nick Skorton, he's going to have a huge combine. That's going to be huge. I think that's going to be very, very important. Let's see. All right, here we go. So let's go to my next position. We're going on the defensive side of the ball. We're going to edge, which I think edge is a major need. You have no depth. You have no depth at the edge position. You really, really don't. So you've got to get somebody. My favorite mock drafts are where the 49ers wait on edge till second, third round, because I think that's the sweet spot. But I really like Mikael Williams. I like him more than most. Anyway. But I'm going Virginia Tech, man. It's been a while since we've been able to talk Virginia Tech prospects. Under Beamer and all that stuff, they've had a lot of talent, but the last couple of years, they really haven't had much. So shout out to them. I'm going Antoine Powell Ryland, edge player, Virginia Tech, 6'3", 250. He would be kind of that pass rusher stud, but whenever I watch his tape, great hands. Solid run defender, but he's a pass rush guy. Like, that is his staple. That is why he will get drafted. But it's not like he's one of those guys that's just pass rusher only, got to take him off the field against the run. I don't see that. So he's 23 years old, and he's got a lot of nuance to his game that I think he's kind of a complete player that you can get late. Now, alignment, he's played a lot of football. 1,700 plus snaps on the defensive line is a lot. That puts him at an 8 out of 10 for this defensive edge class. His alignment, 3 snaps at defensive tackle, 10 at end. He is almost only a wide 9 guy. 1,630 plus snaps all out that outside edge rusher. He's got 60 plus snaps as a stand-up rusher, kind of linebacker blitzer type. But man, I really like him. He's won everywhere he went. He went 12-1 in high school at Chesapeake, Virginia, Under Armour All-American participant. He was with Florida, played there, then transferred up to Virginia Tech. So you've got him in multiple systems, became a full-time starter. The problem is he didn't really produce until he transferred. So that's a question mark, and that's why he's going to kind of be pushed down a little bit. He was an all-ACC player. He won the Dudley Award at Virginia Tech, which I like. That's the top player in Virginia. So that is the award. Top player in Virginia, he won that in 2024. I like that. Had 4 tackle for losses, 14 sacks, but only 1 year of production. So because of that, he's going to fall back. Mock draft database has him going around pick 135. That is at the end of the fourth round. Guess what? We're picking 137. The 49ers also have a pick at 112. If he impresses at the combine and jumps up, this is another one of those guys that I just think fits what the Niners like. Somebody that can bring pass rush production, but is not a liability in the run. We don't have those defensive ends. If you can't play the run, you don't play for this defense. Now, do we change our scheme? Doesn't seem like it. Antoine Powell Ryland, Virginia Tech edge player, somebody that I really, really like. So let's see here. Yeah, right here. So many good defensive linemen in this draft. It's nuts. Right here, Josh, this is what I saw as well. Hand swipe specialist. Him and Bosa will be, yeah, they are going to be entwined with each other. That is Bosa's best trait, in my opinion. Just a hand technician. I really, really like Terradome. Did somebody say Virginia? Yeah, it's been a while. It has been a while. I do like Mike Green as well. And Jeremy says Mike Green in the second. That's out of Marshall. If we do draft edge early, man, I'm seeing mock drafts. Dane Brugler had Mike Green go in the first round. He's probably one of the biggest boom bust guys whenever it comes to Senior Bowl and combine. Mike Green. That could, you know, help his stock the most. Terradome. Yeah, this kid could go ACC. I love it, love it, love it, love it. Green goes in the first. If he balls out, see, yep, that's what I just said. I love it. Green goes in the first. Green goes in the first. Green has been all over the place in mocks. Yeah, we'll see here. CJ says, what about Will Campbell? I like Will Campbell. He's my third best tackle. I know a lot of people have him first, but I've got three guys in a bunch. I've got Kelvin Banks, one. I've got Josh Simmons, too, but he's got the ACL. And then I got Will Campbell, third. I will say this. Will Campbell is the safest of all the tackles. That dude, no matter what, he's safe. He is safe. I think the highest ceiling is Kelvin Banks Jr. I really, really do. But I like him. I like him. Some people will see Campbell as a guard. I think he can play tackle. But power schemes, gap schemes will move him to guard for sure. All right, let me take a quick drink of coffee. I got two more prospects I'm going to give you that I just love. I struggle not making this like 15 prospects each episode. I hope you understand that. Like, I love this stuff. I love it. I love it. Cornerback. We're going to Florida. Why not? We drafted a Florida guy. We're going to know a lot of insight about him because of Ricky Pearsall. Jason Marshall Jr., cornerback, Florida, 6'1", 203, fits our prototypical height, weight, all those things, 22 years old. He has played a lot of ball. Born and raised in Miami. Speed's got to be there. Fast people in the world come out of Miami-Dade. 2,400-plus defensive snaps. That is incredible. 2,200 on the outside. 60 in the slot. 10 as a free safety. 130 as a box safety. He would be an outside corner. Special teams, almost 200-plus snaps there. Love to see that. And was a two-way player in high school. I love this with my corners. I want ball skills. He was a wide receiver corner, played at Pinecrest, Florida. Also a stud basketball player, track and field, Under Armour, 5-star recruit from a powerhouse. He got recruited everywhere. Chose Florida, went there, did have an upper body injury and missed most of this past season. That's why I think he falls. And I know everybody's like, don't draft injured guys. The Niners did draft Isaac Grendo, who's one of the most injured running backs in draft history recently. The Niners will draft injured players, but not till late. They don't draft injured players in the first three rounds, but I don't have Jason Marshall Jr., the corner out of Florida, going in the first three rounds. Mock draft database has him as a 184. So you're talking six rounds. Guess what? 49ers pick 185. Just saying, this is a player that fits our prototype, fits a need. All-out speed, which we have to do if we're going to keep doing this cover three, cover one man crap. But I really, really do like this guy. Has his bachelor's degree already in educational sciences. That's a plus for me. You know, I really thought he was a great player. You look at his coverage grade, 71.4. You look at his tackle grade, 63.4. Somebody that can tackle that's decent for a corner. Run defense grade, 68. Like that. Again, another guy that I just think, Jason Marshall Jr., kind of fits that D'Amador Lenore type mindset where you're drafting some elite traits, you're drafting some perfect threshold parameters at height, weight, experience, age, all those things, speed. He's got them all, but a late round target. Late round target. I really, really like this guy. Right here, Sid, appreciate you. She says, John, pleasant surprise to see you. Just in time for my lunch break. Keep doing the good work, man. Sin, all she does is help people. You are the best of all of us. Thank you. Glad to see you as well in the chat. You are awesome. Let's see here. Right here, keep it with Virginia Tech, Dorian Strong. I almost put him on there, but I was like, I don't want to go back-to-back Virginia Tech, but I am going to stay in for Virginia for my next one, but not Virginia Tech. I'm going with the Cavaliers, but I do like Dorian Strong, Kyle. Man, Kyle, I found my burner account, ladies and gentlemen. Kyle Kaiser. I love it. Story VX, please stay away from injured players, but there's certain injuries that don't scare me. Upper body injuries for a corner don't scare me. That's not an issue. It's somebody that's played 2,400 plus snaps. This is somebody that is durable, that has played a ridiculous amount. And an upper body injury is not something that's going to be chronic or whatever else for a corner. So I'm not, that doesn't scare me. It might bump them down, but if we're talking about a six round pick here, yeah, this is where you start taking some opportunities. Right here, Jeremy O'Donnell Fortune. I like him. 6'1 corner South. I like him. I do too. I like him. And we've taken him in a couple mock drafts. Another guy that I really, really do like. Let's see here. No more wasted picks on useless needs at yeah, I'm with you there. I'm with you there. Gosh. No more kickers. Thank you. Seeing a lot of Sonny Styles stuff in the chat. Yeah, he's a popular player. Steven, twice. I like Sonny Styles. Safety, 6'4", 4'4", 40. We haven't drafted a guy like that since Taylor Mays. Not really in our pedigree, in our threshold parameters. Doesn't mean they won't. I'll take 4'4 speed. I want somebody fast. And yeah, Kinlaw. Talk about injuries. Since Kinlaw, they have not drafted injured players in the first three rounds. They haven't. They haven't touched them. Since Kinlaw, they haven't touched injured players. But they still have later in day three. And I think that's an okay thing. Every prospect is flawed at some point once you get to day three. And man, a corner with an upper body injury that's got that much experience and durability, that's not scaring me away. It's not like it's an ACL, Achilles, you know, something along those lines. But that's okay if we disagree. That's cool. All right, let's go to my last player I want to highlight. We're already past the hour, but I ain't mad. I'm having a good time. Hopefully y'all are too. Safety, Jonas Sanker out of Virginia. Not Virginia Tech, Virginia. 6'1", 210. I thought he was a fun player. Experience off the charts, 2,300 plus snaps. And now, here's the thing that I like the most is it does seem like the versatility is there. Listen to this snap breakdown. He's got 1,000 snaps as a box strong safety. He's got almost 600 snaps as a free safety. He's got 800 snaps as a slot corner. This guy can play slot free strong safety. I mean, that is kind of the prototypical type. It's what they say about Malik. It's what they say about so many safeties. Jair Brown. Now, I want a true free safety. I understand that. I don't know what Jonas Sanker's 40 is going to be. But the fact that he has played that much free safety tells me he's got some speed to him. We'll see. I would prefer to go after a true free, but that's just not in the 49ers wheelhouse. Hasn't been. So if we're looking at somebody like Jonas Sanker, his mock draft database is 203. So we're talking about somebody going at the end of round six. This is a later round guy that fits what they want. Now, he's out of Charlottesville. Here's what I like about him is in high school, he played running back, quarterback, and safety. So you got the ball skills. I love that. A lot of big time offers, whatever else. He was voted one of the team captains, which that's huge for me. I love captain players, all ACC, won all these different type of awards, whatever else. Majors in foreign affairs, checkmark, intellect, love that. And so I like that type of stuff from him. Now, you look at his run defense grade, 67.5. Not great, but not bad. Something you could work with. Coverage grade, 70.4. One of those versatile guys, jack-of-all-trade guys, going to be a stud special teamer, can play both safety spots, maybe the slot spot if you need him to. Got to see how the combine comes out with the 40-yard dash or his pro day. But versatility, I got him as an 8 out of 10. Experience, got him as an 8 out of 10. Hits the thresholds, intelligence, work, team captain, locker room guy. Oh, I like him. Jonas Sanker, safety, Virginia. Mike, it says Ty Robinson, Nebraska. Yeah, I like Ty Robinson. I do. I like that dude. He's a damn good. I like a lot of Nebraska guys. You look at what Matt Rhule has done when he was with Temple. We targeted a lot of his guys when he was at Baylor. We targeted a lot of his guys. We traded for his players and his DC when he was with Carolina Panthers. Now he's in Nebraska. A lot like his guys fit our scheme. It's just what it is, especially defensively. And he recruits the kind of guys we like, high athletic players with aggression and physicality. So, yeah, I don't like Nebraska football. In fact, I hate Nebraska football. But, yes, there are a lot of fits there. A lot of fits there. I like that. Cowachipto, best player available, Starks at 11. I can't get behind that. Starks is a baller, though, and it's a position of need. But, man, we have never even drafted a safety pass. What, the fourth round? We're going to go all the way top 11. If you draft a safety or a tight end at pick 11, and I don't even know if Starks would be there. He's that good. He is very, very good. He has to be a Pro Bowl player to justify his rookie contract right off the bat. You get no cap relief whatsoever. Safety is literally the least paid position in the NFL behind even running back. That's hard for, but the player, Dan Campbell would do it. Dan Campbell would do it. And somebody's going to draft that dude in the top 15. He's that good. But, yeah, right here, Aaron. Like a lot of Nebraska guys, Longhorns fan. I hate Nebraska. I hate them. I really, really do. You want to know who ruined the Big 12? It's Texas A&M and Nebraska. I know my counterparts would say, dude, Texas ruined the Big 12 with the Longhorn Network. I don't want to go down that path. But, yeah, I get it. Anyway, this is fun. I hope you guys enjoyed this. And again, we're just introducing names. We're building out the resume, the draft pool, whatever you want to say, just that we can pluck out of here that fit. And I understand the people that say, man, we can't ever predict what the Niners are going to do, but I don't give a damn. We are going to constantly build our platform and build this through education, awareness, and understanding these guys that are Niners fits and why. And I don't want to just sit here and say I like this guy. Hopefully I do a decent job. We do a decent job of saying this is why we like these guys. This is why we think they fit with the Niners. And that way, whenever we do draft them, and what's kind of been fun with this is every 4 years after the draft when free agency happens and we sign these players, we have all their pre-draft write-ups up. And I always put them out there on social and say, man, this is who they were coming out of college. The Niners do the same thing. How many times at free agency do you hear Kyle or John or one of the DCs or position coaches say, we were really high on him whenever he came out in the draft. And then whenever they became available in free agency, they go get him. Understanding these fits isn't just for the drafts. It's 4 years after the draft. It's free agency. It's trades. It's all this stuff. It's scouting reports whenever we do these. Like, this builds out your NFL IQ. Mine more than anybody. I'm always trying to learn. And I think that's a big deal. Anyway, you guys are awesome. I hope that you enjoy football today, playoff football, and I hope everybody loses. I hope every single team loses, and I hope every fan of all the teams that are left in this playoff tournament loses, and I hope they're all mad, and I hope they're all miserable. Hate, 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 hate. But for everybody watching here, stay strong, faithful.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.